Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Hey, good morning to you. It is Tuesday, May the 6th. Let's see, Teacher Appreciation Day. It is also Nurses Day, the start of the Nurses Week, culminating with Florence Nightingale's birthday a week from today. I think it is, or maybe a week from maybe next Monday. Anyway, she is kind of thought of as the mother of modern nursing. So very cool there. So welcome everybody to the show. I'm Andy Griffin. Marianne Hamilton is here as well, former Miss Senior Universe.
Good morning, Andy. How are things?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic.
Yeah, she is also our senior fitness guru, which I'm getting closer and closer to becoming a senior. I'm not quite there yet. Well, it depends on whose menu you look at.
You qualify to compete in the Huntsman World Senior Games.
That's right. So I have for 9 years now.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
But I haven't. The government hasn't recognized me as a senior yet.
Okay.
So I don't know what that means, but I just know. And there are, it's funny. I go to restaurants, and some menus say seniors 55 and older. Right. Well, I qualify.
Right.
If they say 60 and older, I don't. Or 65 and older, I don't quite make it. So
there are some benefits. I mean, the whole senior discounts for movie theaters is always, it's always a good thing.
That's true. Yeah. And if they have the little list of baby boomers versus millennials, and I'm right on that year when baby boomers ended, millennials started, and so I'm kind of a baby millennial or a millennial boomer or something. I don't know what
a boomer.
A boomer.
Or millennial.
What'd you call me?
I don't know.
A boomer. Well, thanks for tuning in, everybody, to the program today. I love having Marianne here, and one of the things that I think is really nice, and I joke that I'm not a senior, but I kind of am. My body is like 80 years old, apparently, or something. So, a lot of the tips that Marianne gives us are tips I take to heart and things I try, stuff like going on walks and getting out and doing something. For me, pickleball is my poison. That's something I choose
to
do.
Fabulous addiction. That's great.
Yeah. Well, and the thing you've reminded us over and over again is find something that you enjoy, because if you hate it, you're eventually going to be like, I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah, the best exercise for you is the one you're going to stick with.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And for you, it was race walking and power walking, and it has treated you well.
It has. Yeah. It has. It's something I've been able to do for, 30, 40 years already. And I don't
really?
See it. Yeah,
wow.
I don't see it ending anytime soon.
Now
I'm slower, but I'm still out there.
Your husband did you say he transitioned to running after a while?
Yes, he. When we first got together, he attempted to take on race walking with me, and he doesn't have really great flexibility in his legs.
Well, and there's a certain technique involved.
There's a technique, yeah. And so he kept getting disqualified.
Oh.
And he said, I think maybe I'll just run. So
I like to have my feet both off the ground at the same time. Right?
Yeah. So, it's kind of fun because when we're out on a trail together, if he walks or he runs, I can keep up with him walking. And
really?
Yeah.
Nice.
It's fine. So we're both slower.
You were pretty quick race walking.
I was for a while.
Pretty quick.
Yeah. I was.
49 medals, is it?
43
gold.
43 gold.
43, okay. Yeah. 43 gold medal. Incredible.
Thank you.
Incredible. Now, you still work with the senior games, right?
Yes. Doug and I are the race directors for the race walking and the power walking.
Nice.
And registration is open. We have a really good field already of folks who've registered for the fall.
And the race is, 5 months away, right?
I know. It's crazy. We had our launch meeting last week already.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Okay. It's coming. It's coming.
Nice. Yeah. Well, yesterday on the show, I said something. I said, hey, we're going to flip the script with Marianne today. And I said, what does that mean? I wasn't even quite sure exactly what it meant, but I know Marianne has kind of a grasp on it. What does that mean?
Well, as a matter of fact, May happens to be National Older Persons Month.
Okay.
And so you and I qualify.
Yeah, we're there.
Yeah.
And my white beard will prove it.
Yeah. It's just sort of silvery. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice. Yeah. Platinum. Yeah. And their theme this year is flip the script on aging.
Okay.
So it's basically, all of us are lucky to get older, but we don't necessarily have to get old and aged, and we can do things to maintain our youthfulness. And there are
things
we can do.
So flip the script is, I don't know where it actually came from, that actual phrase, but it means basically to change or reverse a situation opposite of what you might think. So age, you go flip the script on aging. Okay, when I get old, I'm supposed to, I don't know, start gardening, maybe sit around in the easy chair and read books, watch Jeopardy every night, right? but it doesn't have to be that way, is what you're saying.
It does not. It does not. It's finding that thing that wants to, that you want to.
And by the way, I like Jeopardy. I'm not slamming on Jeopardy.
Jeopardy's, you know, it's a really, really good pastime.
I miss Alex Trebek, but yeah. But other than that,
I learned a lot of really great minutia on that show, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, there's no reason to just resign yourself to being sedentary. That you just don't have to do that. We can all keep moving in some way.
When it, with the advancement in medical technology, we're living longer. So well, if you retire at 63 or 65, it used to be you're probably going to die in the next few years. But now, I mean, there are people, my dad turns 90 in 3 weeks. There are people that live another 10, 15, 20, 25 years after they're retired. They were maybe 35 years after they retire. So you better take care of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And you can't just say, okay, I'm just going to wait for it to happen to me. You really, really need to be aggressive about preparing, you know, well, not really preparing, but anticipating maybe some aches and pains that might happen and how you can offset those kinds of things.
Okay.
And doing the best that you can to keep moving.
Well, we all need that for sure. I talked with I think it was the we had a neurology doctor on, and he specializes in strokes, and he was telling me that, believe it or not, strokes are really tied to being in good shape. If you the better shape you're in, the less likely you are. He says there's a heredity factor in there, certainly. Sure. But he said the fact that you actually have some control over whether or not you're ever going to get a stroke, he said it's not mental. It's not doing crossword puzzles. Nope. It's actually moving.
It's moving and keeping your blood pressure under control. Those are the two major things.
Yeah.
And that will go a long, long way to, you know, seeing you into your golden years healthily.
All right, let's flip the script. What are some of the suggestions you have for us?
Well, I have 11 tips here, and they go from the frivolous to the fabulous.
Okay, frivolous. We're going to start, which end are we going to start?
Frivolous? We're starting with frivolous, yeah.
Okay.
So it's basically, this is how to keep a youthful appearance. So,
oh.
You know, which is, you know, we all want to look better, right?
Well, and if you find yourself single, maybe you
be out there shopping. Well, that might happen. So the number one thing, and Dr. Blodgett will love this, is get enough sleep. You know,
that is his favorite topic.
It is. if you don't get enough your sleep, your skin starts to get wrinkled and sag earlier in life.
Really?
Yes, absolutely.
Wow.
That's in part because your body releases more cortisol, which is that stress hormone. And it breaks down the collagen that keeps your skin, you know, smooth and springy. So
I feel a little saggy because I didn't get enough sleep last night.
Not
so
me either. Maybe it was the weather. I'm not quite sure, but it was a rough night. Anyway, and then also set up a soothing, quiet bedtime ritual before you retire, and try to avoid alcohol, caffeine, and electronics before bed.
Mm,
that blue screen, I think.
You tell us about the blue light,
the blue light. Yeah.
That one, I think, the first couple, alcohol, tobacco, right before
obviously,
bed,
yeah.
you can that's not that hard. It doesn't seem like even people who do drink, but avoiding looking at your phone or the TV before bed, that's
exactly
tough.
How many of us don't look at our phone before we turn it off or put it on the nightstand or something, or we go to sleep with, you know, mine is Law and Order SVU that I could fall asleep to.
I can completely relate to that. But for me, I almost feel like I need to check, especially since I don't have a news guy right now. So I am the news guy here at KDX.
Yes.
I feel like I need to keep checking. Anything happen in the news? What am I going to talk about at 5 o'clock in the morning? You know, I'm unique that way, but there are other people that have other reasons to check their phone often. Maybe you're worried about your grandkids, or maybe your daughter-in-law's in labor and you want to find out, well, you know,
And
so we're always looking at our phones and checking on stuff. And that, do you have any advice on how to help us break that habit?
You can. I think part of it is setting boundaries with family and friends and saying, okay, I need to not be available 24/7.
Is that okay?
You know, I love you, but I just do need to turn off the phone at some point. I can't be available around the clock.
You know what my wife did? Mm-hmm. And I probably should follow suit, but she put at 10, I think it's 10:30 every night, and she usually goes to bed before that, but at 10:30, her phone automatically kicks into do not disturb mode.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot, I mean, she'll get text, but it won't buzz, it won't ring, it won't do anything, it won't even light up, because they used to wake her up, but now she's just like, sorry, do not disturb, 10:30. 10:30 to 4:30.
That is the best possible thing you can do. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I agree.
And I remember being, I've been self-employed for many, many years, and I always had this guilt complex that I really had to be available to my clients all the time.
Yeah, I know. I understand. Yeah.
And it just, it gets to be kind of crazy.
You're right.
So anyway, you want to create a nice, you know, soothing environment before you go to sleep.
Get enough sleep. Yeah. How many times have we heard that, and how often do we go,
I can get through, you know, I've had 4 hours, I'm fine.
Yeah, I got five tonight. Hey, I'm good.
Yeah.
I've actually found, Marianne, the threshold for me seems to be about 6.5.
Oh.
6 or 6.5. Mm-hmm. So I can stay up a teeny bit later, but if I get 6, I'm good. I can tell, though, if I get less than 6, I can feel it. Today, I got about 5 last night. I can feel it.
Your reaction time is slower. Mm-hmm. You know, in many cases, your balance becomes compromised. I mean, there are a lot of things that there's a physical manifestation of not having enough sleep.
And apparently we don't look as good.
You don't look as good. Yeah. So we don't want that. Okay, so then the next one is pretty obvious. Don't smoke. Duh. If you use tobacco, aside from, you know, raising your chances of getting cancer, you can end up with a really wrinkly, sagging skin at a younger age. Smoking actually lessens the blood flow that carries, you know, nutrients like oxygen to the surface of your skin, and it may slow your body's production of collagen. So,
I have a couple things on that.
Yes.
Number one, I had a professor up at University, Utah State University, mm-hmm. and he passed away during the semester. And we all thought he was 70s, 80. Mm-hmm. He was 57. He was a lifelong chain smoker.
Wow.
And it was all he could do to make it through class. And then he had, you know, before class he'd smoke. And then as soon as class was over, he'd run out there and take another smoke. And we thought he was so much older. We were sure. And it turns out he just smoked his whole life. The other one is, I forgot right now. Sorry.
It's okay. Senior moment, Andy.
Yeah, senior moment. No, I got thinking about that professor at Utah State and forgot about that. But, smoking. And you mentioned there's actually a physiological thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember the other thing. It was the statistics of smoking. 6 years ago, just 6 years ago, 11% of Americans still smoked. We're down to 5% of Americans.
That's so excellent.
Now, that's great. Good news. There is a little bit of bad news. Vaping has gone up.
Especially with kids, right?
A lot of people have.
Did that legislation pass to remove the
flavored ones? Yeah, but they're still doing it. And I was reading up on, I did an article on it last week on our website. Mm-hmm. Vaping is safer than smoking as far as, you know,
marginally.
That's what I was going to say. It's safer. It's not safe.
Right.
It's safer than
You're still
smoking.
Taking bizarre chemicals into your body. And,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And saturating your lungs with them, which maybe isn't the best thing you can
do. I think you get every bit as much tobacco, maybe even more, but you get less of the tar and stuff that you would get with cigarettes.
And nicotine, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Fortunately, vaping was not a thing when I was growing up.
So, never had to deal with that.
Okay, so another one, avoiding the sun or being careful about how much sun you get. You know, some of it's really good for you, of course. You want to get the vitamin D, but soaking up too many UV rays, again, damages that collagen in your skin and can make your body create a protein called elastin.
Really?
Yeah, and your skin might get thick and develop some rough spots and some dark spots and things. So if you have to be in the direct sun, of course, you know, I wear SPF 50 when I'm out in the sun, especially here in the desert.
Yeah.
I wear a big hat, sunglasses, all those things.
Really? Know?
Yeah, take the time to do it.
I wonder, you know, when we were young, mm-hmm. and we're roughly the same age, you're a little older than me, but we're close. We didn't think about that kind of stuff at all.
Baby oil, you know.
We were working on our tans. Yeah, and I know, I wasn't necessarily a sunbather, but I had no problem going out and working in the sun mm-hmm. and spending all day with, you know, the t-shirt or tank top on or whatever in the sun. Never thought about it, but we're learning now that we probably should have been, huh?
Yeah, and, you know, it's not that you're doing damage now. It's the damage that you've done, you know, 20 years ago or 30 years ago that's now, you know, manifesting in bizarre things that happen to your skin. We were the same way. I grew up in Sacramento, California, and we would go to Folsom Lake in the summertime and lay on the beach there. And with, you know, some of my friends would have baby oil with iodine mixed in, so they'd get even darker.
Oh.
Good Lord. It's amazing we have any epidermis left at all.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, all right. Sunshine.
Yep.
Good in small doses.
Good in small doses. Absolutely. Okay. Don't squint.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I squint a lot. I'm a squinter. Yeah.
Do you wear sunglasses outside?
I don't. Mm. Usually I just squint.
You, it'll help you not squint as much, and it's also better for your eyeballs to, you know, have that UV protection.
So I did two baseball games on Saturday outside. I mean, I was out 7 hours. For six of them, I was wishing I had sunglasses.
Yeah, I blew it.
So. Yeah. Well, and I have, my vehicle is tinted fairly dark, and so I don't feel like I need them when I drive, but then you get outside, like you said.
Right,
squinting, I'm guessing it has to do with maybe getting the wrinkles around the eyes as part of it.
Yeah, you get that crow's feet kind of thing, and it can be a problem. It can develop on the outside corners of your eyes, and so, you know, I'm sure it's probably hard for you because you have to wear the headphones when you're broadcasting.
Yeah, so. And you got, if you got glasses on, it's pressing in on them. I actually, because of the sun, I was wearing a hat. Too, so you imagine headphones, hat, and if I tried sunglasses too, it would have been a nightmare.
So. Well, at least you're not wearing a mask anymore either, so on top of all that.
Yeah, can you imagine that? Oh, man.
Okay, then the last one for your appearance is, you know, make sure you moisturize your skin. We're in the desert again, and it's something that, you know, your skin can dry out really, really easily.
I just put lotion on, by the way, on my hands.
Okay.
I get dry knuckles.
Well, see, it can give you a rough and scaly look of an older person if you're not moisturizing.
Okay.
Wash your face once or twice a day. You know, don't be really, really aggressive about rubbing the skin because that can really irritate it. And just make sure moisturize with something that is, you know, soothing to your face right afterwards.
I've had a doctor tell me that if it's kind of runny, he said it's not really working. Yeah. You need the thicker stuff, almost like a salve instead of a lotion. Those are the ones that really work. I don't know if that's true or not, but I had the doctor tell me that. So
I think there are certain formulas for people that tend to acne or something. Mm. They would want a lighter, more water-based type of moisturizer. But those of us who have been on the planet for a number of years really need a thicker moisturizer.
She just said old people.
Yeah. Well, I'm always very happy when I get to have a birthday.
Yeah, When is your birthday, by the way?
It's November.
Okay.
Yeah, it's right around Thanksgiving.
Everybody has turkey in honor of you, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. The family lore, which I'm not sure if this is true or not, but supposedly my mom had already, well, she'd had three boys ahead of me, and she went into labor during Thanksgiving dinner. And she was like, I know how this ends. And so she, you know, fed us all.
Cut the turkey, everything.
Yeah. Washed all the dishes and went to the hospital and had me at 5:23 in the morning, the next morning, on November 23rd.
So, yeah, she's like, I've been there before. No big deal.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you came out all right.
But then it was a girl. So, you know, wow, how'd that happen?
Yeah. That's good.
Anyway, okay, so that's the outside. Do we need to take a break for weather?
We got about 4 or 5 minutes for another break. So.
Okay, so let's move to the inside of your body.
Okay,
for useful habits that we'd like to develop, eating healthily. Hello. Yes.
Sometimes we're good at that. Sometimes we're bad at that.
Yeah. Well, but the right foods can help prevent heart disease, diabetes, and other illnesses that, you know, make you feel tired and old, basically. So consider the heart-healthy Mediterranean diet. It's good for your brain, and you may have to cut back a little bit on fatty red meat, but you'll get healthy fats from foods like fish and nuts and olive oil and avocado, as well as whole grains, fruits, and vegetables.
I know you're not necessarily an expert on this area, but what about supplements? What about, you know, things like Balance of Nature and magnesium and some of those things that you can take?
It's, you know, I would say, from all the research that I've read, the overall consensus from doctors and scientists is you're much better off getting all of those, you know,
natural
vitamins and minerals to the foods that you eat. You can't take a pill and make yourself healthy. You kind of have to do the work up front. And some supplements just are kind of, you know, a waste of money, unfortunately.
Yeah. I will quote Sheldon Cooper, and I don't do this very often, for The Big Bang Theory. He said, when you buy vitamins and take vitamins, you're just buying really expensive urine. Because we all get enough from, if we eat right, we all get enough from that, and you're just, you're getting stuff you don't really need anymore.
So. Yeah. I will say that my doctor asked me to take calcium supplements, calcium and vitamin D, a couple of years ago because my calcium levels were kind of low. And through doing that, I take 2-3 calcium gummies every morning. Nice. And now it's back up to where it needs to be.
Way to go.
Which is good.
Good job.
Yeah. Okay. And then, hello, get moving.
You know, we're starting to fill out that list that we always talk about. Get enough sleep. Get moving, eat right. So tell us about Get Moving.
It's so boring, I know. But, you know, it's the key way to keep yourself feeling young and being young. It strengthens your muscles, it boosts your energy, and really improves your mood. I mean, how how bad do you feel after you work out, unless you're like exhausted and, you know, hurling? Yeah.
Only problem I have is I'm a sweater. I get all sweaty.
Oh, well, you know, jump in the pool or take a shower.
Yeah, jump in the pool. Yeah.
It's all good. It's all good. So, you know, it lessens your risk of age-related diseases like heart disease and keeps your brain sharp. Mm. And you don't need to go to a gym or join a rugby team, basically. Just some brisk walking or yard work or dancing would be...
Do you have advice for someone who maybe they don't like to walk anymore because something on them hurts? Or maybe they don't like to, you know, they used to love to play racquetball or tennis or whatever, and their arm hurts now when they do that. Do you have any ideas for them? I mean, most doctors tell me, and this has happened to me, doctors said, well, you need to not do that for a while. And I'm like, but... Then how do I stay in shape? Come on.
Yeah, you know? Right. I think it's really helpful to talk to a professional, like an exercise physiologist or somebody with a medical background that can say, okay, maybe you can't do this without pain, but you can try this. You can try yoga. You can try, you know, walking in the pool. You can try stretching. You can do a number of things that don't require that same level of physical acuity that you had before. So, I'd be really, really careful and make sure you check with a professional before you start something that you haven't done before.
I know my dad has had sciatic pain nerve.
That's terrible.
It's actually cut down his ability to exercise. Even, you know, I thought, well, at least he can still swim. He says, actually, the motion of swimming is very painful. Mm-hmm. And he says, I'm not sure what he's going to do next because he still likes to swim, but it hurts now. So,
can he just walk in the pool or take an aqua class?
We'll have to figure something. Yeah, I don't think he he's a dude. He wants to be studly. He doesn't want to.
There's a lot of dudes in my classes.
I know. You're preaching to the choir here, but I could see if a guy felt uncomfortable if it was all women in the class or something. Maybe you wouldn't want to do that.
The aquatic center has lots of guys. There's one, you know, my friend Robert, big burly Vietnam vet guy who's about as, you know, rides up on a Harley, is about as masculine as they come, and he loves taking water aerobics classes.
You know? Nice. All right.
Yeah, his wife basically told him, get off your butt and go do something, you know. So.
Way to go, wife. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How many do we have left? Because we do need to get a break in.
Take a break. We just have
a couple left.
Four left.
All right. Marianne Hamilton, senior fitness guru, former Miss Senior Universe, is with me today. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will we'll continue our list on how to flip the script.
Flip the script.
I like it. We'll do that way and we come back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
First Tuesday of the month, even though it's this, we were a weekend, it's the 6th, but appreciate your teachers. It's Teacher Appreciation Day out there. And Marianne, I thought we'd flip our script here for a second. And do you have a teacher that you remember from your youth that you kind of have fond memories of?
Yes, Miss Cox, my 6-year-old teacher, 6th grade teacher.
Really?
Yes.
And what was special about Miss Cox?
She was just, I went to a Catholic elementary school, and she wasn't a nun, so that was a big plus.
Yeah.
But she was very, very motherly, and she treated all of us as like her children, and she was just very calm and beautiful and just very, very nurturing. Plus, she played the organ in the church, and for whatever reason, she let me always go over and turn the key on and get it all set ready for her to play. Yeah. I was her friend.
Teacher's pet.
Yeah, she was really sweet.
That is neat.
Really sweet. How about you?
So I remember in 3rd grade, this was down in Texas, I had a teacher named Mrs. Gutierrez. Mm-hmm. She was a Spanish lady, and I had the biggest crush on her. I thought, 3rd grade. You know.
Right.
And unfortunately, halfway through the year, we had a student teacher, and he took over the class. And I guess, I don't know if she left for another job or what. I have no idea whatever happened to him. Mr. Ibarra came in, and he was a nice guy and all, but, you know.
But he wasn't Miss Gutierrez.
When you have a crush on Mrs. Gutierrez. And then in high school, two teachers, Mr. John's history teacher, he really made history not seem like drudgery, because sometimes if you just study it straight out, it's kind of drudgery, but he made it come alive. And then I had an English teacher named Mr. Bickmore. And he is kind of the same thing with stories. Like you know, you read The Scarlet Letter and Pride and Prejudice. You read all these books and you're like, I don't know this. Mm-hmm. But he managed to make these stories mean more than just what they were. Oh, and so wonderful. I love that about him. So
those
hope
are
they're all doing well.
Those yeah. people are saints. And they prepare our minds and,
yeah.
you know, love them. I think teachers never, ever are appreciated or paid enough.
Yeah, my dad, a lifelong teacher, but he taught some hard, he taught physics and geography and geology and nothing alive. He taught everything that was dead pretty much, but lifelong teacher. And of course, when he taught, it was back in the day where you could throw an eraser at a kid if they fell asleep, and
absolutely,
he did that. But you can't do that anymore. Now you would get sued or something.
Yeah, we had the knuckle wrapping with the
Yeah. Well, if you had the nuns, they probably had the ruler. And
you
the,
bet,
the whole
you
work,
bet. And, you know, we were all, they ruled by terror.
We laugh now, but that's terrible.
Yeah, you know, now that I'm older and I know what that whole system was like, there were nuns who were right off the boat from Ireland who were like 18 when they came to teach us.
And really?
They seemed so old for us.
Oh, yeah, course, yeah. You know, if you're in third grade.
Or 6 years old or something. And they just, you know, good Lord, they were really terrifying with the habit and those scary clothes.
The other thing, it is the start of Nurses Week around the country. And having been in the hospital four times in the last 8 years, I can tell you the nurses we have here in St. George, almost to a person, are fantastic and amazing. Just, I mean, and now they have to do an enviable job, like stab you. And for me, I have a lot of arm hair and leg hair, and you know, they put the tape on to keep the IV in place.
Rip it off, yeah.
Eventually, they got to take that off. They were so kind in trying to get those off without causing me too much pain.
Aww.
So, which was a pretty big deal. One nurse got to the point where she got a little instrument and then some water, and she was slowly working the piece of tape off to.
Wow,
you know, they say rip the Band-Aid off. Well, she didn't do that. She was careful with it.
That's a really, really special person.
That was really neat. So
I have to say, when I was going through all my treatments for radiation treatments, there was a nurse, a male nurse at the hospital here, and he was so wonderful. When he was on staff that day, he would find one of the gowns I had to put on, you know, before the treatment. He'd find one in the warming thing, a child's.
I was going to say, I had to go to the kids' section, right?
Kind of a child's gown.
Marianne is very small. People.
And put it in the cooker.
Oh, and make it
just,
warm for you.
Yeah, it was just so soothing and wonderful, and he was so kind to do that.
If I had one positive thing about being in the hospital is when they warm up your blanket for you.
And the best.
That's so amazing, yeah.
When I've had any kind of procedure, I get really, really nervous and agitated, and I start shivering and getting really, really cold back in the, you know, prep area. So when they can bring me two or three warm blankets, it's just nirvana.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome. All right, we're talking about flipping the script today. How to maybe not feel or act old. And Marianne has some advice for us. We are on number 8?
Yes.
All right.
So a really important one, watch your blood pressure. Really, really super important.
You know, I used to kind of poo-poo that. Like, you know what? My cholesterol's good. My heart rate's good. My oxygen's fine. Who cares about blood pressure?
But BP is really, really, really important.
Yeah. What does it do?
It raises your, if your blood pressure is high, it raises your risk of having like vascular dementia, mostly because it damages the tiny blood vessels in your brain when your blood pressure gets too high. So you can be at risk for vascular dementia and Alzheimer's. But people who control their blood pressure with diet and exercise and medication seem to be able to slow that down and prevent that, you know, from getting much worse. So that's really, really important. That's a really easy thing you can do. You can get a blood pressure gauge at home at the drugstore and check it at home.
Interesting for me in blood pressure, when I was in my 30s, I actually kind of had high blood pressure and high cholesterol. I'm actually approximately the same size as I was 25 years ago, but my blood pressure is great. My cholesterol is great. And I don't feel like I've really changed that much, but my body seems to have adjusted, I guess.
It's all that pickleball.
I am playing a lot of pickleball.
Yeah, it really, really makes a big, big difference the more you move. It's really helpful.
So watch your blood pressure. You say, and there, it's not too expensive to get a home blood pressure deal.
No, you can get one for, you know, $20, $25 or something, or find one on Amazon.
I went to one doctor, and they put something around my wrist, and I was supposed to hold it up against my chest. That's how they checked my blood pressure. It wasn't the full sleeve with the oxygen and all that. But that was
device.
Nice. It was kind of nice.
Okay. And then the final thing for your innards is, you know, don't skip your checkup. After the age of 50, we all need to have at least an annual exam. And they can check your blood. They can check your blood pressure, cholesterol. All those things are super, super important for seniors.
Now, I hate to stereotype male versus female, but almost across the board, women have been great about getting to the doctor regularly, and guys have been terrible about doing that. How do we talk to guys into going more often, or at least not more often, just often, going once a year even is a good start?
I think it's, you know, telling your loved one, I really, really care about you. I want you to be around for a long time. And, you know, you're probably really, really, really healthy, but let's just make sure. And just, you know, the doctor needs a baseline of ways to judge, you know, your various levels. So let's just make that happen.
Most guys are going to say, oh, I'm fine. I feel great. And it's no big deal. Leave me alone. Uh-huh. I'm fine. Uh-huh. Right? Isn't that what we always say?
Yeah. Us guys? Good for you. I'm going to the doctor. I made my appointment. I go every year around my birthday, so I know when it's going to be coming. And I think that's a good thing to do for yourself for your birthday.
Now, speaking of doctors, there's some big ones for folks that are getting on in age. Colonoscopies, number one. The original advice was at 50 and every 10 years after that. I noticed recently they said actually we want you to start at 45, not 50. What about the how often you go for a colonoscopy or a mammogram for women?
Yeah. So supposedly with colonoscopies, if they have not found any polyps in your first one or you have no history of colon cancer, you can do it every 10 years.
Well, and that's where I'm at. And the sad thing is, next year is 10 years.
Fun. Yeah. And then, unfortunately, my mother passed away from colon cancer, and so I have to go every 5 years. And I'm pretty religious about doing that because I just know that my likelihood is pretty high. Yeah. And then mammograms used to be, I think it still is. Once a woman reaches the age of 40, they recommend they do it every year. And if you've had, you know, breast cancer or something, they would probably check you more frequently.
Yeah, my mother-in-law died from breast cancer, and my wife's like, oh, I'm not going to get it. I'm fine. But she has been very good about getting mammograms and going in. And sadly, my cousin passed away from breast cancer not that long ago. And she, you know, they say look for a lump. She never had a lump. She never had a lump and she was getting mammograms, and she wasn't that, she was in her 30s. But she said the only way that she knew something was wrong was it started to hurt a little on the side of her breast. And she's like, I couldn't explain why it hurt. I didn't injure myself. I didn't bump it. I had no idea why it was starting to hurt. And so she went in, and that's when mammograms had missed it.
Wow.
And that's when they did an ultrasound, they found it. Sadly, it was already stage 4, and she passed away not too much later. But
I'm so sorry. Yeah. I mean, we all know our bodies, and you kind of trust your gut. It's much, much better to be, you know, to go and get it checked out. And maybe it's nothing. In many, many cases, it is nothing. But there's that one possibility of something being wrong. You want to make sure you check it out quickly.
So mammograms, colonoscopies, anything else test-wise that we need to...
Yeah, blood pressure, cholesterol, and blood sugar.
Okay. The blood sugar, diabetes thing is such a big thing now. In fact, I think Dr. Blondin was saying as many as 40% of people in America are either diabetic, type 2, or pre-diabetic.
Pre-diabetic, exactly, yeah. And high levels of any of those things can lead to heart disease, dementia, and other age-related illnesses. Plus, your doctor can do, like, the preliminary cognitive test, the assessment. You know, it's the draw the clock, and it's 10 minutes to 2, and blah, 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 and here, you know, remember these 5 words. And if you have any indicators that those, you know, aren't coming to you so easily, they can send you off for an assessment by a specialist.
I happen to know, and Dave Heaton from the Southwest Utah Public Health Department was on last Thursday. They are offering free A1C test, which is diabetes. Now, you have to go to their website, and you have to be screened first. You answer 5 questions, and if your score is like, if you 3 out of 5 are in the danger range, that's when they give you the free test. You know, if it's only 2 out of 5 or 1 or 0, then you don't need one. But he said, we're doing it for free. This is a test that can cost maybe sometimes $50 or something, and it's absolutely free right now
at
the health department. So
good. Take advantage of that, people.
Get tested for sure. I actually, first of all, I'm in the doctor so often that I am not diabetic, but also just you know, I've had because I have what do you call it, neuropathy in my feet. Yeah. Every doctor's 100% convinced I'm diabetic. It's got to be. Well, it's not.
It's not.
Call it idiopathic, which they're not calling me an idiot. They're saying idiopathic means that we're not sure why.
The doctors are idiots, then. They can't.
Kind of. Let's get a break in. We'll finish up with our last couple of flip the script advice after this.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Well, I know a lot of you out there are a little bit older. I'm getting a little bit older than I used to be. And so we bring Marianne on to try and help us maybe not feel, act, look quite so old. Marianne won Miss Senior Universe a couple years ago. Was it 22?
2022, right.
2022 was Miss Senior Universe, which you got to be pretty good looking to win that one, right, Marianne?
It is not a beauty pageant.
Well, I know, but they're not going to...
celebration of older women and their accomplishments.
Okay.
So, yes. But it was nice to be able to wear a gown and all that stuff.
I was going to say, they're not going to put... Now, I'm not going to say it, but you have to be somewhat appealing in looks.
They're looking for someone to represent the organization.
There you go. Exactly. That's putting it very nicely.
Incredibly. Yes.
Yes. Okay, and I will move on before I get myself in trouble.
Okay.
Okay, we're down to the last couple of things. Now, we talked about the outside, how we look, the inside, how we feel, but what about the last couple here?
So this last one comes under the category of feed your soul.
Feed your soul.
Very, very important to do as we age.
Now, what does that mean?
Okay, a couple of things. Maintain your social network. You know, all the research shows, you know, and we've talked about this, that if you don't have a social network or you're isolated, that can lead to, you know, problems with dementia. And it's very, very, very important to have, to be connected with friends and family.
So social network could be maybe if you're in a church group, mm-hmm. maybe if you'd like to go to the senior center. I remember one time we used to get so irritated because me and these older guys would play basketball at mm-hmm. the rec center every morning. But at 10 o'clock, we had to be out because there was this group that came and played, I think it was bocce ball or lawn bowling mm-hmm. or something like that in the gym when it was really hot or really cold. And we used to get so irritated, but there was this group and it was the same people, the same maybe 12 to 14 people every you know, I think it was two or three times a week. And they were all friends. They had a, like you said, a social group, a network where they counted on each other being there. And that was big.
It's really, really huge. And doesn't mean you don't have to have this huge, huge, huge number of, you know, hundreds of friends. Basically, you know, it's the quality of your social connections that matter, not the quantity. Mm. Research shows we only need 3 to 5 close friends to have a happy social life. Your nervous system doesn't crave popularity. It craves safety, resonance, and connection. A small circle is sacred. I love that. I saw it on my friend's Facebook page, but it's very, very true. But, you know, having that network helps to prevent anxiety, depression, and dementia linked to old age, including Alzheimer's.
Will you read that statement again?
Yes. Research shows we only need 3 to 5 close friends to have a happy social life. Your nervous system doesn't crave popularity. It craves safety, resonance, and connection. A small circle is sacred.
A small circle. So you don't have to have 20 friends or 50 friends or whatever. But if you have a couple of close ones, mm-hmm. ones that you can confide in, that you can, you know, one thing I appreciate about my wife, I want to know how her day went. And if she had a hard time that day, I want to know about it. Mm-hmm. Same her with me. If, mm-hmm. if, you know, if I'm frustrated because the boss did this, or if I'm unhappy because of, you know, a sponsor or whatever, something happens during my day, I know that I can, it's like a safe place.
I can go and just confide in her. I know that men sometimes struggle with that. I mean, it's easier for women, I think, we're by nature more apt to share. And men feel like they maybe sometimes need to be just, you know, strong and tough it up, suck it up, and just deal with it.
Rub some dirt on it.
So I'm really, really happy that you and your wife, you know, have that kind of connection where you can share back and forth.
It's big.
Equally. It's big. Huge.
Does Doug listen to you complain?
Absolutely.
He's good about it?
Yeah. He learned early on that if I say I don't feel well, there's something wrong because I will suck it up.
Nice.
And he didn't didn't believe that initially until he had to take me to the emergency room. I was really, really, really sick. So now he knows that if I have something on my mind physically or emotionally, it's worth listening.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, and you have to be able to, if you have a good friend or spouse, they have to be able to read you. And like you said, know when something is a little off or a little different, because you sometimes your loved one won't necessarily tell you.
Right.
But you can say, hey, wait, something's not right here.
Well, sometimes they don't want to bother you or make you be alarmed. So it's really, really important to make people feel like that's okay.
All right. Do we have one more? Okay, let's do the last one.
Most important
one. 3 minutes.
So. Okay, let's lend a helping hand.
Ah.
Yeah. Your body releases more endorphins, the pleasure hormones, when you spend money on other people than you spend on yourself.
Really?
Interesting,
wow.
Yes.
That's why giving at Christmas feels so good, right?
It doesn't have to be money. The calmness and pleasure and connection you feel when you help somebody often, you know, makes you want to do it more, which in turn makes you calmer and happier.
Nice.
So it lowers stress and may even help your heart health and immune system, which is your body's defense against germs. So, doing something nice for someone is just a healthy, healthy thing to do.
Just because you're old doesn't mean you have to feel or act old,
right?
We flipped the script. Way to go, Marianne. All right, there's a couple of things we want to get to before we go. The Roll with Patrol. So this is basically going a bike ride with police officers. Mm-hmm. It's mostly for kids, but adults are welcome to be a part of it as well. It was supposed to be last night.
It was. Doug set it all up last night.
Something happened last night.
Yeah.
We got a little bit of rain and some lightning and thunder and stuff. So they've moved it. It's actually Thursday night, so night after tomorrow. 5:45 registration, and then at 6:30 we roll with patrol. That's at the Confluence Park. Mm-hmm. Now, which park is that, Marianne? I get my
park. Confluence Park. It's the one next to the Dixie Center.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, right. Of course. Yeah. Over there by the convention center.
Yeah. Got it. Are you going to ride?
No, I'm not allowed on two-wheeled vehicles anymore. Remember?
Oh, that's right. The balance thing. Yeah.
Because I had to sell my motorcycle. I'm so sad. Anyway.
Okay.
So, and then you had a couple things coming up as well, right?
Yeah. So, just quickly, next Monday night is the, May concert in the park at 7:30.
So it's free?
It's free.
Okay.
For Northern Park. It goes from 7:30 to about 8:30 or 9-ish type thing. And the band is called, Metropolis Man. There's actually the lead singer is Alex Metropolis.
That's really his name.
It's really his name. He's from Arizona, and they play, you know, rock and roll and soul and blues and things. That'll be fun.
I feel like he should be from New York with the name Metropolis Man.
So I think it's like Scottsdale, which is kind of crazy.
Well, that's a suburb of Phoenix, and it's kind of a metropolis. So.
Right.
I guess there's that. So what kind of music is it again?
It is, Americana and soul and rock and roll.
So expect to maybe hear a little Bob Seger type music. By the way, Bob Seger's birthday is today.
Oh,
do you want to guess how old he is?
80?
He is 80.
Is he really?
80 years old today. That's a great guess.
Thank you.
I would not have put him at that old. I thought I would have put him at 70-ish. But he is 80
years
old
today.
He's been
around for a while.
Like a rock.
Come to Papa is one of my favorite songs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Against the Wind. My favorite Bob Seger song by far and away is Turn the Page. I love that song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And a few years ago, Guns N' Roses tried to cover it.
No, that wouldn't be.
It wasn't very good. Axl kind of butchered it. All right, so and some people will disagree and say it was better than the original, but I don't. I think the original is it. But so concert in the park Monday night.
So 7:30.
6 days from right now, 7:30 at Vernon Weatherman
Park. Right.
Okay.
And then finally, the Cops and Robbers race is coming up again on the 17th. There's a 1K, a 5K, and a 10K.
And you are usually a robber?
This year I'm going to flip the script, and be a cop.
Okay.
Yes. So the robbers get to leave 1 minute before the cops do, and basically the cops chase the robbers, and it's pretty funny. And
then so 1K, 5K, and?
A 10K.
10K.
Yeah.
Okay, which is about 6.2.
6.2. Yeah. I'm signed up for that one.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you going to race walk?
Always.
Nice.
It was pretty toasty last year, so we'll see how it goes this year.
Marianne, thank you for coming on today and helping us to realize that we don't have to be old if we don't want to be old.
You can sign up for those races and walk 1K if you want to.
Nice. She's Marianne Hamilton. I'm Andy Griffin. Thanks for listening. Dr. Blodgett's on tomorrow.
Thanks, Andy.